Hi, I'm Marielle Hemingway.
And I'm Bobby Williams.
Are you ready to be better and feel younger?
Are you ready to find your true self?
Are you ready to step into the life you were meant to live?
Let's do it together now.
Join us for the Running with Nature show.
Download it now at podcastone.com.
That's podcastone.com.
Learn how to step into your life.
The Running with Nature show.
The following program is a podcastone.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. It was 100 years ago this month, it was December 23rd, 1913, that President Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act into law. Now, imagine inheriting a family business that was started maybe by your grandparents or great-grandparents 100 years ago, and discovering that the managers over that time of the family business had destroyed 96% or more of the business's value, and that they had resisted an audit of the business all along the way. Surely you would fire them on the spot, and yet that is what the Federal Reserve has done to the value of the dollar over the last 100 years, over the last century. But there are many, many more ways to judge the failure of the Fed, and we'll talk about some of them with Ron Paul when we continue in a moment.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price. It's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
100 years of Federal Reserve calamity. Surely, Dr. Paul, it's long past time to put the Fed out of our misery.
You know, I think it's very easy to say that they've been a total failure. But from their viewpoint, there's been no failure. They say it's been a complete success. But, you know, I compare this to a bank robber, you know, getting in, robbing the bank and getting away, and nobody caught him. And he says, hey, didn't hurt anybody, didn't shoot anybody. It's a great success. So that's about the way I see the so-called success of the Federal Reserve. I think it's been a total failure when it comes to taking care of the people and providing for a sound economy. But when you think about it, it's more than just the economy that it affects. It affects our liberties, because once a government can spend endlessly and always have a borrower of last resort, that is, they can always borrow from the Fed, and the Fed creates the money out of thin air, it's going to be an encouragement for big government to grow. And when governments grow, no matter what the argument is, liberty is diminished. And we've been doing that systematically for over 100 years. And although there are other issues like the income tax coming in at that particular time, these last 100 years have not been good for the protection of liberty. And we can place the blame at the doorstep of the Federal Reserve. In many ways, what the Fed is doing is taxing. You know, it's an inflation tax. It's even more sinister, as bad as the income tax is. This one is even more sinister because they don't have to come to your door with the IRS and threaten you with imprisonment for not paying your income tax. What they do is, if you have money in your shoebox or in your bank and you systematically get less back, less purchasing power back, it's really a tax. So it's a taxation system. It's a threat to our liberties. It encourages governments to do bad things and politicians to do bad things. For instance, how many wars are fought without inflation? It's pretty hard to find any war not fought without inflation, unless you go back to the very, very old days when invaders were able to finance wars by confiscating the gold. That is not what's happening today. So the Fed facilitates warmongering. We don't pay any attention to declaring war anymore. So presidents, by executive order, go to war, and the Fed prints the money to keep the war going. And guess what? It's very successful. Wars continue, and there's a lot of war profiteering going on, and the arms manufacturers do quite well. But this is a system that we put up with for 100 years, but if you look carefully at history, it doesn't last forever. Although it was systematically, it has been systematically undermining the value of the currency, it's actually only gotten worse since 1971 when there was no link whatsoever to gold. But fiat money, artificial money, always ends, usually ends badly. And yet the real price that we're going to have to pay right now for allowing this central bank to come into existence and pretending it is a road to wealth and prosperity is going to be very painful because, yes, in the early years of the destruction of currency, you can have bits and of productivity going up. You have the booms part of the cycle, and people feel good about it. But you always have the downturns and the collapsing of the financial bubbles. And most of the time, you know, just with more inflation and more spending, you can recover until you get to the near the end stages of the currency. I think that's where we are today. This last downturn 5 years ago, we're still in the middle of it, and the unemployment problem still exists. The inflation of prices and of general services and commodity prices are is yet to come. So we're in the middle and witnessing something that is rather dramatic. And I think we should all who are concerned about this issue take this opportunity of this 100-year anniversary to talk a lot more about the Federal Reserve. Because it's something that I have talked about for years, consider it a very important issue in the cause of liberty and the cause of peace. So I'm looking forward to the discussion here in the next month that we'll be talking a lot more about the Federal Reserve.
Well, you're clearly the central figure in awakening the American people to the Federal Reserve and its nature. Not so many years ago, nobody even really knew what it was. And they certainly do in large numbers know today. What is your take on where we are in the process of awakening the people and doing something at last about the Federal Reserve?
That's where I think we can look with a bit of optimism. 5 years ago, before the financial crisis hit, there was not much talk about it. But I can recall going to Congress in the 1970s and working with some liberal Democrats like Henry Gonzalez from Texas, who was a populist liberal. And he did not like the Fed, and we would have audit the Fed bills in, and others over the years. There's always been a few of us, but it wasn't until 5 years ago that we got the attention because finally people started to realize that maybe the Fed does have something to do with it. But instead of explaining all these issues and saying tomorrow we have to get rid of the Fed, we approached this by asking for transparency. Everybody should be for transparency. And then they finally found out that there were a lot of shenanigans going on in the bailouts of trillions of dollars being handed out to bankers and overseas governments and corporations around the world. So the American people started to wake up. And because of that, they sent a message to their congressman. And twice we were able to get the bill to audit the Fed to the House floor. And both times it passed overwhelmingly with bipartisan support. It was one of those issues that I like to deal with because it's not politicized. It's sort of, if it's important, both sides should be for it. And I think we've made great strides, but we have a long way to go, and I'm anticipating that the crisis will get a lot worse. It's not going to be easily solved, so we have to be vigilant and be prepared to have an alternative to the current system that we have today.
We talk about the Federal Reserve in the past 5 years during which it has grown its monetary base from roughly $800 billion or so to now knocking on the door of $4 trillion. But this has gone global in a way that is barely comprehensible. The big eight central banks of the world have gone from about $6 trillion in their monetary bases at the time of the mortgage meltdown, from about $6 trillion to now $17 trillion. This is global in scale, and it's absolutely unprecedented in history.
That is correct, and that is why it's so important, because it used to be that countries would inflate and each country had an individual currency, and there are some disadvantages to that, especially if they're printing at different rates. But this is different. It's not that it is an automatic that an international currency is bad. but it has to be a non-fiat currency. It has to be a natural currency that people accept, like a gold standard. And under those conditions, you can have international finances that will be facilitated with something like that. But today, it's so different. It is worldwide. It's a fiat dollar reserve standard. The world is getting very upset with us because our deficits are exploding, and we expect them, foreign countries, to keep buying our debt. The Chinese are getting very nervous about this, and they have about $1.3 trillion of our debt. So they have an investment in what we're what's going on, and they're getting annoyed, and yet they're acting, you know, it's just terrible about those Chinese. They're acting like a bunch of capitalists these days. They take all this money they've been earning by selling us goods, but they've taken our dollars, and now they're investing it because I think they're going to work their way out of dollars, but they're investing in oil production and natural resources around the world. But they're not investing in invading in other countries. So we have embarked on the wrong course since we've had this Federal Reserve and this system of money. And now the world is in the mess of a global bubble. So even if the Chinese might be managing their affairs better than we have, and they are a creditor nation, not a debtor nation, I think the crisis will engulf everybody, because how do you – if people leave the dollar, how can China not be hurt by this? And the panic to get out of the dollar is never, nobody ever knows exactly when that would come. So the dollar has lost 96, 97% of its value in these last 100 years, but it could go to, you know, a lot lower level rather rapidly. And that's when the world will have to face up to the truth and decide what kind of a system is going to replace what we have today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Paul, for being not only a stalwart of sound money, but for awakening the American people to the Federal Reserve and its activities, and for another great conversation and podcast as well. Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.